Good to see you. We appreciate your presence. We need all the people we can to worship God because He is to be glorified, and to hear and obey the truth because that's our only hope of salvation. We're glad you're here. I might say at this point that it is a great blessing to have the Bible. We just sung about that. We have the mind of God translated into the English language. Guaranteed to stand forever, Matthew 3:24-25. Said to be perfect, 1 Timothy 3:16. All we need to go to heaven, John 16:13. It's here. God has no revelation, if this Bible is true, outside the Word of God. He talks to nobody directly. If you think you're talking to God, check what you're eating for supper, or look inside your mind a little bit. God does not talk to people today. He is no respecter of persons. If He did that, He would be one, because He would be talking to you and not to me. And I don't mind debating any man on the issue if they accept the Bible as the Word of God. I would even take them if they wouldn't, because I think I could prove the Bible to be the Word of God to a reasonable person. So we're glad that we're here to think about the book. Union Hill is beginning a gospel meeting tomorrow night, and so I would mention that it's hard to find gospel meetings in our time. Gospel meetings have not failed the church. The church has failed the gospel meeting. I hope that if you can, you'll try to go to gospel meetings. It will help you, and it will strengthen the congregation. And of course, we had several people that visited us here when we held our gospel meeting, and that is a righteous thing to do to repay that. As we're studying tonight, I want to mention to you that I'm trying to wrap my mind about a subject that is very, very difficult to think about. And yet we know all we need to know about it. I don't want you to think it's a great mystery. And it is the Godhead. It's God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Now I'll start out with 1 John 5:7, and if you can explain this better than me, I'll be glad to stay here a while and let you do it. There are three that bear record in heaven. That's what the record says there. The Word is one of them. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit and God. These three bear record in heaven. And the Bible says these three are one. I used to try to say, well, it's like three in one all. But I was ashamed to compare the Godhead to three in one all. But it's these three are one. The next verse says there's three that bear record on earth, and the water and the blood and the Holy Spirit. And these three agree in one. They're not one. And we would know they were not one. But they all come together when you understand that you're to be born of the water and of the Spirit in baptism into the kingdom of God. And they are one in witnessing about whether or not you're saved, because that's exactly what God has told you to do. So we're talking about one member of that Godhead. And if you look at Revelation 1:8-11, it says the same thing. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Then it says in verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And that's the same thing as the beginning and the end. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ as the Alpha and Omega and what it means to us as we are trying to get to heaven. The most misunderstood person ever to live was Jesus Christ. Now, the person's words has been more twisted and applied to more things, I suppose, than any other, because it's Jesus Christ. And yet, it's understandable. Alpha and Omega. I'm sure you probably recognize this as the first and the last letters in the Greek alphabet. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon. I can give you all of them. I had a little Greek. Someone asked me one time, do you know a little Greek? I said, yes, I do. He's a cook down on 3rd Avenue in the restaurant there. So, but that's about the extent of my knowledge, but I do know a little Greek. Blepoton, Anthropon. I see the man. I could... Ginoskoton, Biblion. I know the book. I can speak a little Greek. But one thing about the Greek, it's a dead language, so it never changes. Why did God write the New Testament in Greek? He wanted it sealed for time and eternity. Living languages change. You know, when first the Thessalonians people read the King James, and they read that those of us which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. Well, the word prevent used to mean that in 1611, but shall not precede them which are asleep. There are mistakes in that King James, but there are no fatal mistakes. By the way, there are some mistakes in all translations, but some of them have no fatal mistakes because they stick true to the word. And so here we have it, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I want to point out to you, first of all, that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega of creation. He's the beginning and the end. 1 John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John 1, 14, same chapter. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ is noted there as the Word, and He had created. I like what it says in Romans 11, verse 36. The Bible says that of Him, through Him, to Him, and for Him are all things. That pretty well states it. So Jesus Christ was a part of the Godhead from the very beginning. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, 4, God hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now that's predestination. But what does it mean in Him? God has chosen us in Christ, meaning He made up the plan of salvation of how to obey the gospel and then put into the kingdom before the world ever began. Before the foundation of the world. And Jesus Christ was there in that beginning. The Bible says again that He exists through the Word of God, Hebrews 1, 3, upholding all things by the power of His Word. He holds the world up. And so it is His purpose then to be the beginner and the ender of all creation. And I'll go back to that when I go to Revelation 22, the Bible time holding that. And if I have time to get to that, I hope I will. So He is the beginning and the end of creation. Second, He is the beginning and the end of history. If you've studied much history, you recognize that history is still going on. Well, Jesus Christ is still going on. He is the beginning and ending of history. Mankind had a great thought sometime along years ago. I used to know where it was when they decided to start the time of our calendar from the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, when I was young, I thought A.D. meant after His death. And I went around and talked about it. I wonder if people knew how dumb I was. But I hope some of them have either died out or forgotten it. But anyway, Anadonima meaning the year of our Lord. And so they took the date that they believed is some hundreds of years after, in the 3rd or 4th century. They set up the calendar. And they started the date of the Lord's birth as zero. That's when it all started. Unfortunately, they missed it 4 years. And so, according to their calendar, Herod, of course, died in 4 BC, 4 years. They missed it 4 years. Because Herod was alive, Matthew 1, when Jesus was born. And they went to Him. So they messed it up. But that doesn't change anything in the Bible. But it does when people go around trying to figure out the dates in our calendar and predict when the Lord's coming back. They're using a faulty calendar to start with. And so they can't figure that at all. So that's when they begin it, and that's when history began. The beginning of history, as far as God is concerned, was the beginning of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of human history. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then the Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And history is a story. I wish I had time. I've got it outlined here, but I don't have time to give it to you. In Genesis the third chapter in verse 15, the Bible says, the seed of the woman would bruise thy head, told the serpent. The seed of the woman there refers to Jesus Christ. That was, of course, in the Garden of Eden. And there was the prediction of that. You turn to Genesis 12, and the Bible says to Abraham In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And it says there that he would produce a great nation and even a Gentile nation. Then you come on down. If we could come through, we could show you that this follows all the way through. What did God want the record of the Bible to show? And that should be our history too. The only inspired history there is the Bible history. And then, of course, when you get that, you see that why are we told about Genesis, about the fall of man and the promise of the Redeemer? Why are we told about the Egyptian bondage? Because they came out, and that was the giving of the old law. And the old law can't save you. The Bible says it was added because of transgression until the seed should come. Hebrews 10 and that 5, he taketh away the first, that's with the old law, that he may establish the second, Hebrews 10, 9. And Jesus said that's the reason he came. If you're living according to the Ten Commandments, you ain't got a hope. There's no blood of Christ in it. Now, all the Ten Commandments are right except the Sabbath day. Every one of them is repeated in the New Testament except the fourth one, the Sabbath day. And if you read in Exodus 31, verses 29 through 31, you'll find the Bible says that the Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Someone says, mean still going on. No, missed that. Children of Israel not going on. When any part of a contract dies, the contract's dead. I will be married to my wife until she dies. I'm going to outlive her. But if she dies, I'm not under contract. If you want to get in on the chase, just put your name in the hat. But when the contract, one of the parties dies, the contract is no longer binding. Nobody there to bind it with. The children of Israel are gone, and I'll show you that from the Bible if you want me to, but don't have time to do all that tonight. And so there it is. And so it was, of course, that the story of history, and which Jesus Christ was the story of history. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness, when the fullness of time was come. Fullness of whose time? Wasn't the fullness of man's time. Wasn't the fullness of my time. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law, in the fullness of God's time clock. Now, if you go back in Micah 5:2, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up. The Bible says a son would be born in Micah 5:2 in Bethlehem, and he would be king. That was 600 years before Jesus was ever thought of. And you see the providence of his birth, that they traveled all the way there to be born in Bethlehem. That was what it was when the fullness of time was come. History is God's story and Jesus Christ's story, his story. And the Bible teaches that. I've got something on Matthew 24 I wish I'd get into tonight about the prediction of the end of time. But the Bible is plain in some of the things it says, but they are figuratively spoken, and you can't set the date of that day and there knoweth no man. But it don't have to come upon us as a thief, because we know there's some things that will happen, and we're taught that very clearly. So Jesus is history. That is what history is all about. And the future history is all about Jesus Christ. History didn't stop when they closed the history book. It's still going on now. And it won't stop when everybody on earth is dead and gone. It'll go on. It'll be the history of the saved, and Jesus Christ will believe it. Three, Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega of Scripture. The two go together, Scripture and history. The seed of the woman born under the law. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians 2:12, without Christ there would be no hope. There would be no redemption if it hadn't been for Christ. And the Scripture teaches us that Jesus Christ was Scripture. In the beginning was Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That's the reason the Word is perfect, because it's likened to Christ, and Christ is perfect. The Bible says that it is a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A dead book couldn't read that. That's Jesus Christ reading your mind, the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's Scripture. It is, of course, that. And then, of course, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega of the church. I don't understand why people can't understand that. There are no churches built by men that fit the Bible at all. None of them. They don't teach the same worship. They don't teach the same plan of salvation. They don't teach the same organization. They don't even teach the same message. And if you're a member of one of them, I'd be glad to take it and study with you very kindly until we come. And by the way, I've got all night. And all night tomorrow night, I've got nothing. My calendar's clear. You may have some trouble. You may have to go to work and make a living. But I don't have to do that. I'd love to study with you if you don't believe that. And so the Bible plainly teaches that the history of the church is the history of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Daniel 2:44. And the Bible says in Mark 9:1, that kingdom, the church, would come with power. And the Bible says in Acts 1 that Jesus told the apostles that tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And the Bible says in Acts 2 that the power came. That while they were sitting there, the apostles, the power came down on them and they began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. And the men of the time said, what is this? And they were told by the inspired Peter, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, Joel 2:28 and 29. And that is the outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh, Jew and Gentile, not everybody on earth, but the Jew and Gentile. And the apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit to teach the plan of salvation, the organization of the church, the worship of the church, the truth about heaven and hell, and everything else we need to know. And the Bible says the Spirit would guide them into all truth, and God pulled down the curtain of Revelation. Only ones inspired to write were the apostles and those on whom they laid their hands and gave some of the gifts that enabled them to teach and write. After that generation died, all the rest were gone. Proof of that is 1 Corinthians 12. 12 spiritual gifts that the Corinthian church trying to follow all at one time, and that they had the speaking of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, healing, all that. And the Bible says very plainly, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. And the Bible says very plainly that the gifts were in part. And the Bible says very plainly that the Scriptures were perfect, that it was complete, thoroughly furnished us to all good works. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega of the church. And we ought to be, because He's the builder of it. Without Jesus, there's no builder. Upon this rock I will build my church. Don't you wish that said my churches? I most certainly don't. Wouldn't that be the biggest argument you've ever heard if we tried to figure out what the Lord's church was, if it said my churches? There's just one. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:1-4, there's one body. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1:22, that body is the church. And the Bible says in that passage also that Jesus Christ is the head of the body of the church. And that means the Pope's not the head. And that means that whatever you put over is not dead. And that same Bible tells you that women are not to preach over men publicly. Why would a person doubt the Word of God and go to a congregation where allowed women to preach over men? It is not permitted for women to speak over a man. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12. Read it, it's there. And you can understand it if you will but read it. And so the Bible teaches it. And so here we have it. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. And the Bible says plainly in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "Of the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord." Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The Bible says that, as I just quoted Ephesians 1:22. That means He rules it. The Bible says in Matthew 28:20, "All authority," Jesus said, "is given to me in heaven and earth." He's got it all. Now, how much does that leave for the Pope or the Council of Cardinals? Zero. How much does it leave for anybody that runs any other church organ? Zero. Got no authority to pass any law or change any law for the Lord's church. And so that's what the Bible teaches. Not only that, He is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. And He is the Savior of the body of the church. He's not the Savior of the churches. He's coming back to get the kingdom, the church. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end. That's when He's coming back. When He shall deliver up the kingdom to God. Read it, 1 Corinthians 15:24. It's in the book. And He's going to turn that over to the Lord. And when we get to Revelation 22, we're going to see that grand church being pictured as going to heaven. That Jesus Christ is there. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's also, of course, the presenter of the church. You know, there was people that don't understand this. Now, I can't remember when we got married if anybody presented my wife or not. But I've been in several weddings, and they've been several presented. Of course, we were standing there, and of course, this guy was just, my wife and I run off and got married. She was too young to get married. And she said if she's older, she'd been smarter. But she was too young to get married, and I went and asked her daddy if I could marry her daughter. It took a lot of courage. He was a stern man. And I asked him, and he said, I'm not going to sign for you. But if her mother will sign, then it'd be all right. But I'm not going to sign for you. So I knew her mother was a pushover. She liked me. So I went in and talked to her mother, and so it was. But when we went down there, he just stood just like this, and he went through the ceremony, and wasn't nobody there but my sister. And we borrowed $60 in the car to get down there. And anyway, he married us without a presenter. But it was nice to have a presenter. I like when fathers give them away, don't you? That's one thing I like about a wedding. I'd like to give my daughters away, and even my granddaughters and great-granddaughters if I could. And I'd like to say a few things to the people they're married. If they don't treat them right, they go answer to me. Yep. And so that's the way I feel about it, and that's the way I think you ought to feel about it. But you present it. And so here is Jesus Christ, and he's going to present the bride, the church, to the Father at the end of time. We can understand that, and it ought to be very easy for us to understand. Not only that, he will glorify the church. Ephesians 3:20-21, to him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. It's not going to stop. The church is never going to stop. The kingdom of God will go on forever and ever and ever. And so he is the Alpha and Omega of that too. And he is the Alpha and Omega when it comes to glorifying the church. And I want to read you a little bit of that because I think we misunderstand this so terribly that we don't have an idea what we're even talking about. And the Bible says in Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, this is figurative language, but you can understand it. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. That's the kingdom of God. That's the church. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You believe that? I certainly believe it. And neither shall there be any more death. I certainly believe it. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. How can that be true? For the former things are passed away. Notice this. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I've really appreciated that. I come from a family of 12 children. We handed down everything, especially clothes. You were lucky if you got into them before they had some holes in them. But I always lacked new things. I've tried to buy a few new cars in my time and just sit in it and just smell that new smell. That is a great aroma. I didn't want to buy somebody else's used car, but I hadn't been able to do that. And I wouldn't buy one now at all. I'm not going to give away two prices just to have a new car. I've got better sense than that. You drive it around the block, it's worth half what you really had to pay for it. But anyway, there is something to be said when it says, behold, I make all things new. For he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, notice, it is done. Notice what it says. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You heard that before tonight? I will give him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But God's not going to give that to everybody. But he says, but the fearful, that's the cowards. If you're a coward, whosoever shamed me in my words, you're going to hell. The Bible says it, Mark 8:38, go read it. And the unbeliever, you don't believe the Bible, you're lost and spend eternity in hell. Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. John 8:21-24. And the abominable, that means people that are mean. Buddy, we got a bunch of them. And murderers and whoremongers, that's people that live the whore life, unfaithful to their wife or family, but live as whores live. And sorcerers, that's the ungodly religious people who claim to work miracles. Turn your channel back there and you'll see several of them. They can't work miracles. And I guarantee you, until any one of them, the Roy McConnell will come any time, day or night. We'll go out to the graveyard. If they can raise one, I'll raise the second. And if they can't raise one, they can stop preaching that foolishness. But if they can raise one, I'll raise the second. and some way or another I'll get them $10,000. They're not going to do it. They can't do it. They're a bunch of fakes. And it's time we made it what it is, because they're sending too many people to hell. And all liars. That means about two-thirds of our politicians. Doesn't it? Liars. All you got to do to go to hell is just not tell the truth. Shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so the Bible is clear that Jesus Christ is that. And I want to turn, while I got time, and get to Hebrews 12. Because while we're on this, you need to get a dose of this, and I do too. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, what the setting of this is, Hebrews 11 is all the people who had the faith in God throughout all ages, not all of them, but all the group of them, examples. And they had faith enough to be saved by an obedient faith. And the Bible says, here they are. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let me tell you what that means. That's my opinion, but it's right. We can look back at the life of Abraham and David and even Adam and others. We can look back and we can know that's the way they live because it's in the book. But the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, the saved can see what's going on earth. They can't communicate, but they can see. Do you know the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah talk with Jesus. What about? About that which was about to happen on earth. They knew what was going on earth. Those people that have gone on that are dead, and I've buried two sons, they can see what I'm doing. I'm glad I believe that. And I believe with all of my heart. We're compassed about so great a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. What is that sin? It's unbelief. Hebrews right about it. By grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself, just the gift of God. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So there we are. Jesus is another Omega. He is another Alpha and Omega. The beginner, that's the author, and the finisher, that's the ender. He is the author of faith, and he is the ender of faith, because it will never end. Now, it'll give way to sight. Faith in our time comes by hearing by the Word of God. But you can have faith by seeing. You don't have to hear. If somebody walks up and takes a stick and starts swinging at you, you better have enough faith to duck. He don't have to tell you, I'm going to knock you in the head. He just comes at you with a stick. Faith is based upon sight after this life is over, not upon hearing. And the Bible says it. Who for the joy that was set before him. What was it a joy? It's always a joy to save people's souls and to do what God tells you to do and do right. Who are the people that's having the best time in their lives on this earth? The drunks that some of you run with? The ones that party half the night? Are the people some of you were in college, you know how college life is for 80% of them now. Are they the happiest people on earth? If they are, I don't want to be with them because it's not going to last. The Bible says, he for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. Now I want to give you the last thing that Jesus is going to say on this earth. It's talked to you in the book of Revelation, and it too is the fairy book where we can understand it. I'm starting with Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly. That don't mean in a sense of right now or later, but it is coming. And my reward is with me. What's he going to do? He's going to have the world burned up. The world will burn up with the brightness of his coming. That's what the book says. And give every man according to his work. Notice it says 13. I am Alpha and Omega. You heard that before. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. Verse 14. When you get to the last, what's still true? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and enter in through the grace into the city. The commandments. Did Jesus say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? And you telling me you're not going to be baptized to be saved? Do you think I'm fool enough to believe you rather than Jesus? I hope nobody is. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The Bible said in Revelation 2:10, he that is faithful unto death is going to be saved. The Bible says, I've got to confess him to be saved, Luke 13:3. And the Bible says that I've got to be buried in water to wash away my sins upon the confession of my faith to be saved. Acts 9:6, Paul said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Acts 22:17, Paul was told by the preacher that God sent to him, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Any preacher don't preach that, it's not preaching the word. Arise and be baptized and wash away that. Directly from God to the preacher Ananias and delivered to Paul. And that's the truth, brethren. And that's the reason I preach it. And I would like to meet with anybody anywhere, anytime to discuss it. If the Bible doesn't teach baptism as a command of God and for remission of sins, then you can't prove nothing from the Bible if you can't prove that. If you believe it, it's there, brother. And the Bible teaches it. And then we have the other side. For without are dogs. That's really people that live like dogs. That's what that is. And sorcerers. That's those that we talked about before who are false religious workers. And whoremongers. That's the adulterers and fornicators. And murderers and the adulterers. Who's the adulterers? That's the ones that don't keep God first in their life. Has another idol. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Did you ever think about that? Have you loved God but made a lie out of it? If I told my wife I loved her, and I have, and I do every day, and if I didn't tell her, I would want to tell her. So I'm telling her already if I forget later. I love you, honey. So, but the Bible says if you love and make a lie, that is, you don't act like it. This is what scares me to death about the Lord's church. If I love my wife, I'll be at home when I'm supposed to be at home. And I won't be laying out here, there, and the other. And if I love my Lord, brethren, listen to this. You may not like it, but it's true. I'll be at every service I possibly can. Because I want to be where my Lord is. The Bible says in Matthew 20:18, where two or more gather together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. If I don't go home to my wife and do other things, I don't love my wife. If anybody can't see that, they can't reason together. And the Bible says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And notice this. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega of the plan of salvation. And here's the way it ends. God puts the plan of salvation, an invitation, begging people to come all the way through. And here it says, and the Spirit and the bride say come. That's the church. And the Holy Spirit plead with you to come and obey the gospel. And let him that hears say come. That's the ones that will listen. And him that is athirst, those that want to do that. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then the Bible says that Jesus gives this warning. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of the book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in it. Signed, Jesus. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And the last words of Jesus, he which testifieth these things said, surely I come quickly. My Lord is going to come quickly. Are you ready to meet him? If not, get ready. Obey the gospel or come home to him while together we stand and while we sing.